last week we didn't get to talk a lot about the Good Grim. And let me just tell you this for minister reference. I never had anybody tell me the things that me and Scotty tell y'all about. Like, Scotty asked Brother Brad how you get a message one time when he asked him to minister, and he said, well, just get full of the word. Just get full of the word, and it'll come out when you get up there. But sometimes, like for me, sometimes, a lot of times if you're going through something, if y'all have noticed, there's times it's like we're all on the same page. You can tell it in here. There's other times maybe somebody's lagging or going through something, and I have to deal with that whenever I'm up here. But this morning, feels like it's one of them times we just get to move on because we're good. So, and when I have to do those things, to me, you got to do it by faith. Because to you or to me, it feels like I'm on a rabbit trail. Sometimes I'm up here and words come out of my mouth and I'm like, where in the world did that come from? What are you talking about? And then I have somebody come to me after church, thank you for that message, that really helped me. And I'm like, oh gosh, I didn't know if I was in the flesh or a rabbit trail or what that thing was. But you learn over a period of time, because even though you got a message, you still got to be led. You still got to be open. You can't just go by what you've just got wrote down here on this page. Amen? So y'all remember that whenever you're out there. And if you get around somebody or whatever and something keeps coming up, but you can't see nothing in their life, maybe everything looks fine, but when you get around them, it just keeps coming up, let it out. Why? Because that's the Spirit of God. They need that, even though they may be in faith, so you can't even see they got a problem. Right? All right. We're going to recap a little bit before we start on the good ground again. So we'll let Beth do this if she can do it real quick instead of turning to it that way, because we've done been over them. We won't waste much time. Matthew 13:4. It says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. All right, what's it say there? The problem is, let's see. No, we gotta. I think we gotta have verse 5 too, don't we? We may have to turn to them because I might have not have wrote them down good because she's only got them the way I wrote them. Let me look here at Matthew. No, that was some. There it is. It says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, what do we say wayside? The problem with wayside ground is? Put up Luke 8:5, please. I'm sorry. Right. They didn't value the word. Didn't mean anything to them. Just kind of went past them. It says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was what? Trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. Means it never even got in. They had the ears on the side of their head. They heard it, but it never went down on the inside of them. Why? Because they gave no value to it. Because if you're going to get something out of the Word of God, you must show God and His Word respect. You can't just think it's a flippant thing, pick and choose. Why? It makes you wayside ground. And that word can never get in you. Therefore, you can't even be born again without hearing the Word of God. And it's not just hearing with these ears. You hear it with your heart. All right. Let me see what I got right down here. So the way you fix it is you show respect for the Word of God and set your heart to be willing, and you will have a hearing ear. We went over that, right? All right. Mark 4, verse 5 through 6. It says, and some fell on stony ground where it had no, much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Do y'all remember the scripture we read last week? I think it was in Jeremiah, where he talked about, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit, and he won't see when heat comes. Y'all remember that scripture? But cursed is the man that trusts in flesh. Now, verse 6, it says, we read verse 6. Okay, now Mark 4, 16 through 17, please. Ooh, you're getting faster there, ain't you, Beth? And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, so it got in there, immediately receive it with gladness, joy came. It says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Notice that there. It says they're scorched whenever the heat comes, and then it says they have no root in themselves. In other words, how many knows you can go out and plant a seed today and go dig it up tomorrow? It won't have any roots on it whatsoever. I don't know any seed that produces just overnight. There has to be seed time and a harvest come later. So they quit before they let the word get in there and start making roots. Luke 8:6, see what it says about it. And some fell upon a rock, which is still the stony ground, and as soon as it was sprang up, it withered away. Why? Because it lacked moisture. Everything in this earth has to have water. In the spiritual realm, it's the same way. It has to be watered, right? So this ground, put up Luke 8:13. It says, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while they believe. They got faith, they believe the word, and in time of temptation they fall away. If you've been here any length of time, you have actually seen this happen in the natural with people just serving God. They get born, they hear that word, it gets in there, they get born again, but then here comes the devil, trials, tests, and temptation. It says, I have had it way better before I ever started serving God. Y'all ever thought any of that? Yeah. Which really you didn't. You're on your way to hell, number one, right? Oh, my goodness. All right, let's see what I got wrote here. You got to let the word stay in there. People are quick to believe sometimes, but then you got to have patient endurance to hang on till it comes. Hear the same word again and again. Remember we talked about that? So you hear the word on finances and you take that word and you plant that word in your heart. That same word has to have some of the same word coming to water that word again. Why? Because the word about healing don't water the word about finances. It's not the same word. In other words, it's not the same plant, right? And he goes on, I wrote down, meditate for the root development. Meditation is probably one of the biggest things that I know that can help you develop roots. Why? You're thinking about it day and night. Somebody might say, well, you can't think about it day and night. You're already thinking about something day and night. You even dream a lot of times when you're asleep. The doctor told me one time, because I told him about some dreams I was having or whatever, he said, you dream every night. I said, no, I don't. I don't dream very often. He said, yes, you do. He said, you just don't always remember your dreams. So even while you're asleep, your brain is still going. It doesn't shut down. So meditation on the Word of God is one of the quickest ways and best ways I know of to get that Word in your heart and grow in some roots. Let's see what else I got wrote. Water it with the flow of the Spirit. We talked about that. Remember, the Bible says that in you, out of your belly will flow rivers. That's more than one. That's for you and for other people. We talked about how when you're full and overflowing, you can just walk and it sloshes and splashes on other people because you're so well watered. There's rivers of living water out of your belly. Also, the Bible says, draw from the wells of salvation. How many knows that well is in you? Jesus told that woman that if she drunk of that water, natural water, she would thirst again. But if she drunk of the water he would give, it would be in her a well springing up. Remember how we talked about how you do that? One of the ways you do that, the Bible says, speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. The Bible also says in the Old Testament, it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. God is everywhere all the time. But he's not, how would we say, revealed or manifested maybe everywhere all the time. You begin to praise and to worship him and to adore him and tell him how much you love him and how great he is. It's like he just comes and just fills the room. He's already there, but he's honoring you. Why? You're respecting and honoring him. Now, put up Luke 8:14. Did you get it before I said it, Beth? It says, and that which fell among thorns, so this is a different type of ground, are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Doesn't say they didn't have any fruit. How many knows, now Aiden, if we asked him, he'd say they are. We have blueberry bushes at our house, and if I want a blueberry, I better get it when it's pretty close to green, and they're not good. That boy eats green tomatoes. I'm not talking about pick them off the vine, eat some green. Goes out there, picks the blueberries. They are green as green can be, and he just eats them. I mean, that's not what God's wanting. He don't want your fruit picked green. He wants it ripe. Why? Because it's good. It's sweet. It's full of vitamins and nutrients and everything that it needs. But he says here that thorny ground, they bring no fruit to perfection. They heard the word. They had respect for it. It got in their hearts. They kept it for a little while. It's bringing forth. But now other things come. This is where we get to the point to where I told you before, now life happens. How many knows it's pretty easy to believe God for a couple of days? But when you go months, day after day, years, week after week, month after month, all kinds of life happens during that time. So you can't just have this one little word in there. There's times, like right now, I've got more word in my heart that I'm believing God for than just my brother being home. There's other things that has come up during this time, and I've had to take that word and plant it. But the thing we have to do here in this ground is keep everything else out. All of the cares. I developed this habit during this, that during this time that I was in this ground, I'd say out loud, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I can't tell you how much I don't care. I don't care. What do I mean by that? I'm not going to take the care of that. Care doesn't mean just worry. It doesn't mean I'm just not going to worry about it. It means I'm going to pick my battle, and this is one of them. Just leave it. Don't take the care of it. Then you got worries, and you got anxieties. You've got kids and all kinds of stuff. Things come up. How does that stuff get in your heart and begin to choke the word? Number one is meditation. What is meditation? Worry is meditation. If you've ever worried, you know exactly how to meditate. But meditation and worry and meditation on the Word of God brings two different kinds of harvest. Meditation on fearful things, worrying about things, caring about things and all of that, and it causes anxiety and it gets in there and it becomes like, have y'all ever seen a honeysuckle take over a tree? Yeah. For you know it, if it gets big enough and tight enough, because as it wraps, it gets tighter and tighter and tighter until sometimes it can just kill that tree and it can be a pretty good sized tree. Morning glories in your tomato plants, they just go and they just wrap around it and they pull on it and they suck up the nutrients. That's exactly what these cares and anxieties and fear and all this stuff cause in our heart. We think about it too much. Sometimes we can't help what comes to our mind. But kind of like Kenneth Hagin said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. But you can stop it from making a nest in your hair. When it makes a nest in your hair, it's planted a seed in your heart. And if you keep on thinking about it, you're going to add fuel to the fire, and it's going to grow. Why? Because you're watering it. And the ground doesn't know the difference. The heart doesn't know the difference. It'll plant anything you put in it. So you got to keep those things out. What was the next thing he said? Pleasures of this life. You know, I've used the illustration before. You know, I can't go to church this morning. I got to go to the lake. God blessed me with a new bass boat. That is kind of a contradictory statement, ain't it? That God blesses you with a bass boat to take you out of church so you can fish instead of going and getting training. That's kind of contradictory. But how many knows there's way more things than that? There can be too much gaming. What's that stuff called? Candy. I don't play games on my phone, so what is it called? Candy Crush and all different kinds of. How many knows there's nothing wrong with that? God says he give us all things richly to enjoy, right? He wants us to enjoy. But how many knows it's its place? I watch TV. I like good movies, you know? And usually after I get all my word, because I do all my preaching and reading and I'll pray and all that stuff in the mornings, you know, while Scotty's gone, I'm home alone and all that. Then at night after supper, I like to watch a good movie sometimes. But how many knows when I'm sitting there and I got the Holy Ghost in here and I start feeling like, maybe that's enough of this. That's enough of it. That's how I know when it's enough of it. Anything, even if it's a good thing, how many knows it can get out of balance and become too much? And that's what he's saying. There's nothing wrong with having pleasures. God wants us to enjoy this life. He wants us to have things and enjoy things and enjoy people, but it's got to stay in its proper place, or it gets down in your heart, and then before you know, that's all you want to do is watch TV. That's all you want to do is go fishing. That's all you want to do is go to the lake, right? Then he goes on here. Let's see what's the next one I got here. Oh, let me read this. I wrote this down. I forgot I wrote this down. In the thorny ground, how do you fix it? Don't let anything else get in there. You got to control your thoughts. Your mind belongs to you. God won't control your thoughts, but the devil will bombard you if you let him. Your meditation. You got to control what you meditate on. You have to make a choice. The Bible says, I believe it's in Philippians, he said, everything that's lovely, good report, honest, all these, he said, think on these things, right? So if it's not these things, then I don't need to be meditating on it. And watch your words. Why? Your words are seeds. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33 that you take a thought and you plant it. See, the devil, he can't do anything. He can bombard me with thoughts, but I don't have to take any of them. How do I take them? The Bible says, take no thought by saying. So watch your words. Why? Because wrong words will plant wrong seeds in your heart. Now, Luke 8:15, Beth. But that on the good ground. We've been waiting 7 months on this. And that on the good ground, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, I looked up some of the things in this. Let me see here where I got. And so wrote down some different translations of that verse. The New English Bible says, but the seed in good soil represents those who bring a good and honest heart to the hearing of his word, hold it fast, and by their perseverance yield a harvest. But first thing, let's deal with this. He says, an honest. You know, I think, well, I'm born again. I got an honest heart. Oh, not necessarily. The Bible says that the heart can be deceitful above all things. But God knows all men's hearts, he says. It says, in good heart. Have y'all ever heard something like this? I don't know. We'll just say Sally. I don't even know a Sally that I can think of, so that'll be a good reference. Say Sally, or Bob, whatever. I'm telling you, they have a good heart, but they will lie to you like a dog. Y'all have heard that statement? That's a contradictory lying statement. Not so. Why? He says, good heart. They even called the rich young ruler, called Jesus good. Remember, he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say? Why you call me good? There's only one good. How many knows God's not a liar? Never, never, ever, never will, never has told one lie. So what's that mean? I can't be a liar. See, you can pick up people on the side of the road and give them a ride. Do you realize a good deed doesn't make you have a good heart? Neither does a bad deed make you have a bad heart. See, just because somebody is generous and gives somebody, that don't mean they got a good heart. They could have stole that. There was a guy here a while back, I guess it was maybe at the end of last year, something other, I think close to the end of last year. Some guy gave Scotty something, and come to find, I think it was like the next night or a couple of nights later, the guy's brother called Scotty wanting the thing that guy had gave him because his brother stole it from him and gave it to Scotty. Scotty don't even know what he's talking about. He tells him, well, you can have it. I don't even want it. My point to that whole thing is, do you see how that happened? Now, he did a good deed giving somebody something, but no, that's wrong. You stole it. That's not a good heart. Notice what he says. He says, an honest. Let me show you something here right quick before we get to move on here. Let me see where I got it wrote down. Surely I wrote that down. Yeah, there it is. Hebrews 4:12-13, please. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing of sunder of soul and spirit. So is mind, will, and emotion. Spirit is you. He says, and of the joints and marrow, we all know that. We got joints, you know, in our elbows and all that stuff. He says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and what? Intents, the motives of your heart, my heart. Neither is there any creature, there's not a dog, not a cat, not a tree, not a human, that he don't know. He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest, or we would say revealed, in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God, I may not even know my right motive, but God does. Why? He knows what's in there. And he says over there in John 15, 7, remember when he started this, he said, if I abide in him. Abide means he's my dwelling place. He's my habitation. Right? He says, if I abide in him and his word remains in me or abides in me, then I will ask what I will. Let me tell you something about this. Have you ever, I'm trying to think of an example, have you ever said something about your believing God for something, and when it got out of your mouth, in here you felt like, you're not really? Who is that? It's my own spirit, man. Me. Why? He knows. Then I got the Holy Ghost in there that he's not bearing witness on the inside of me with what I'm saying, that I really am in faith believing God. Let me tell you something about these people that are out here that you see that they don't really serve God and they say they do. They know. Y'all not saying nothing. They know. You can get around people that they've served God before and you knew they did and everything, and you can see in their life where they're slacking and getting cold and different things, and you try to talk to them and it's weird. You know why it's weird? They're not of the same spirit anymore. They're not yielding to the same spirit of God that you're yielding to. Therefore, but guess what? In here, they know. They can tell you they okay. They can tell you God's moving for them. And God's good. He reigns on the just and the unjust. But on the inside, you know. On the inside, they know. Now, over a period of time of you knowing, and that conviction keep coming and telling you, you get what's called a hard heart, which is calloused. Y'all ever got calloused? My feet, I was thinking the other day, my feet, I used to didn't wear shoes at all. I mean, back then they wasn't stores, you know, you got to have a shirt and shoes. They just didn't care, you know, how you come in there most of the time. So I did not wear shoes, period, unless it was somewhere I had to. I mean, walk, run on gravel, and the heels of my feet was so calloused and so thick, I used to, because they would be cracky, I used to sit and just peel that off. And it would be thick till sometimes it would get down to the quick and bleed. But it didn't bother me that much till it got down to the quick. Why? Because all that friction of walking and running on cement, gravel, and dirt made it hard. That's what happens to people. And then once you keep pressing that conviction down and not changing and yielding to it, you get hard-hearted and you get callous. And if you're not careful, then you get deceived. Now you believe you are okay. And now you are in a very bad place. Because see, don't be fooled by the devil and the way people do. I am by far perfect. I know I don't even have to tell y'all. Y'all can see it and hear it sometimes. I'm just saying though. You know, none of us are in the flesh completely like Jesus yet of everything that we do or say or whatever, you know. Now we are like him. I'm not saying, y'all know what I'm saying, right? So, I mean, you don't just look at people and see them do something wrong or whatever, you know, say, well, that's not good or blah, blah, blah. You know, and we don't judge people. But don't be fooled by them telling you they can do all of what they're doing, but you got to do all of what you're doing, what this book right here says, and we're going to get the same reward. Ain't going to happen. No. Never going to happen. Now, am I saying they're not saved and not going to heaven? Absolutely not. Because the thing about it is, do you understand you can get born again, and the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how many knows if you're going to get anything beyond that in this life and the rewards in the afterlife, there's a life to live. And it's by his leading, whatever he tells you to do. Sure, they may go to heaven, but then God's going to roll out a big screen. This is my talking. A big screen and show you everything that he had planned in your life and how it was going to affect everybody around you and every other nation and all this stuff, and you didn't do it. The Bible talks about how there's a day coming. It says the day of the Lord will declare it. For every man's foundation and what he has built thereon after you get born again. If it's wood, if it's hay, if it's stubble, it's going to be burned up. What is that? All the works of the flesh. Whatever you thought, whatever you said, whatever you wanted to do. But those other things that the Bible talks about gets refined, that's pure gold, that's his will, that you endure, that you do. We get rewarded now and later. How do I know about later? Y'all remember the Bible talks about, in the, I believe it's the parable of the talents. It says the one that got the most, he said, I'm going to make you ruler over 10 cities. That's not just an analogy. You really think the one that's sitting at home, that they're born again, but they're not doing the will of God, you really think he's going to put them over ruler over 10 cities? No. He says, if you can't even control money, if you can't handle money, how can you be entrusted to handle the true riches, the things that's coming later, and to us even now? And did you know we was created gods here in this earth? Gosh, y'all got too quiet on that. Y'all read the Bible, don't you? It's not a capital G. Read it. It is a little g. Now, I know y'all know you kings and priests unto God, because Scotty says it a lot. Did you know the Bible says that we will judge angels? Yes. New Testament. That's not old. That's New Testament. And the Bible says that we were created as gods to be God. Why? The Bible says to rule and to reign and take that blessing of the Lord and spread it throughout the earth under his leadership. He ain't changed his mind. New Testament. He says, whatever you bind on earth, Sandy, is what's going to be bound. Don't say what God bound. He says, whatever you loose on earth is what's going to be loosed. Right? That means I'm God. Little g. Don't get it mixed up. Little g. But it does say that we are God. And that's what God is trying to do, I believe, with all of my heart, with his people. And we got to quit telling him what all is wrong. Now listen to me. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says if you have need, ask him. That he knows what you need before you even ask him. Then he goes on and he says, ask. But how many know we've got Christians that all they are is about this deep in God, and their prayer life consists nothing more than how, God, I need you to change my husband so my life will be better. Wrong motive. See, a lot of women are praying for their husbands to be saved, not so they won't go to hell or anything, just so their life will get better, they think. Y'all not saying nothing. Vice versa, husbands, y'all have heard the story where Scotty would tell God, you know, God, if Teresa would straighten up, if Teresa would do this, if Teresa would do, I could serve you, God. Really? Go tell that to the Apostle Paul. God, if you'd have stopped this shipwreck, God, if you'd have stopped this stone until I'm beat and left for dead outside of the city, I could have served you better, God. No, you don't understand. Read the rest of what he said over there later on. He says, in my weaknesses I will glory. He said, because it's in my weaknesses where God comes in and shows himself so very strong. We've got wrong thinking about persecution. According to Scripture, when they got persecuted, what did they do? Oh, I'm telling you, Paul, they just talk about me. You don't want nothing to do with me. And all I'm doing, Paul, is trying to preach the gospel and help them get better. Y'all not saying nothing. A lot of times that's the way we look at it and talk about it and think about it. It's wrong. How did they look at it, talk about it, and think about it in Scripture? Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm worthy. They saw some of you in me so much so till they don't like it, and now they're persecuting me. God, we just rejoice that we're found worthy to be persecuted, worthy to be insulted because of your name. Ain't that the way they handle that? We have to have mind renewal. Why? Because this stuff that we're going, it's working in you and for your good. So you mentioned the word persecution, trials, tests. A lot of Christians go, oh, God, please, no. I've just had about all I can handle right now. You're thinking wrong. You better hear what I'm telling you. This takes mind renewal. You are thinking wrong. Why? Everyone, sure, the devil means it for your bad, but sure, God means it for your good. And we're going to read some scripture where he says that. we get to? What do we got up there? Hebrews 4:12. All right, notice that. That it says it's the Word of God, and there's nothing hid from the Word and the Spirit of God. He knows the motives. Our motives has to be right. He, at one place, I think it's over in James, he said, you ask, he said, but you don't receive. He said, because if you do, then all you're going to do is take it and spend it on your own lust. The motives and desires of your heart is not right. Right? Now, good ground brings forth fruit with patience. Put up Luke 8:15, please. He says, by your steadfast and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your souls. Now that is the New English Bible version. The word patience in Luke 8:15, not another place, but in the verse we're looking at, the Greek, it says it is cheerful. Remember we talked about peace and joy over and over and over. He says you have peace and joy in your believing, in all believing. It is cheerful or hopeful endurance. Constancy, patient continuance, waiting. Y'all tell me which one this is. Say I'm at Walmart. Or I'm at Lucky's. It don't make no difference. New cashier. Lady can't find her change that she's digging out because she needs a penny, you know what I'm saying? And you're like, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I've got to be so-and-so in 5 minutes. Well, you should have left earlier. Does that look cheerful or sound cheerful? You're not enduring. See, a lot of times we get fooled by this stuff. Because we know the words, we know the lingo, but we don't know how it applies. If I ain't got this cheerful, if I'm not cheerful and hopeful, endurance, this is not the real patience of God working. Anybody can wait because you have to. You don't believe me? Go to jail. Just go to jail. You will wait and wait and wait. And I don't care if you get in the floor and cry, if you pitch a fit, if you cut somebody, I don't care. You ain't gonna do nothing till they say. You endured it, didn't you? Yeah, because you had to. God, that's not what God's talking about here. This is, you are in faith and you are letting that patience work and you are better than the Energizer Bunny commercial. You are better than a Timex. The devil comes after you. People come after you. Situations, problems arise. You just take a licking, baby, and you keep right on ticking. That's what I'm talking about. And you do it cheerfully. You do it joyfully. Let's see here what else I got wrote. I looked that word up in some other places. In the Holman's Bible Dictionary, it says this word in Luke 8:15 for patience, it says active. I thought, Lord, that's good. Endurance of opposition, not a passive resignation. Y'all hear people, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. 10 years later, I'm just waiting on the Lord. 15 years, I'm just waiting on. No, you're not. Did you get what that said? He said active endurance. Not passive endurance. Passive is just, you're just waiting. Whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. I leave it all up to God. You know he's sovereign. Y'all not saying that. But, whew. I feel kind of like James Brown's song today. Y'all remember that? Wow, I feel good. Because I knew that I would. That's what he's talking about here. You're cheerful. You're not depressed. You're not sad. Why? Because it doesn't matter what's going on the outside of you. It's like this. I mean, I've used the illustration of boxers and marathon runners and all this stuff. This ground right here, good ground, is place you gonna work it out, baby. You gonna move from the 10-pound barbells to the 15 and the 20. Why? Because you're good. Till you're good so you can be buff. The devil looks at you and you get like,
I'm serious. What happens when you work out? You gain endurance. The first week, you might get to do 10 pounds like this a couple of times. I mean, I don't know where you are. Maybe you're starting out with 50 pounds. You know, you done been through a little bit. Travis was telling me, I think it was a couple days ago, he was talking a little bit. You know, we all got our own stuff we got to deal with. Life happens. The devil makes sure of it. You know, we live in a fallen world. He said, I remember when it was just like one trial, maybe two. He said, and they didn't last long. He said, now it gets to be a bunch of them and they last longer. Good place, baby. You have growed. You might not can see you growed, but you have growed. Why? Aiden can't take what Travis can in the natural physical. Neither can a baby take what a grown-up can, or one that has been maturing over a period of time. They can't take the same thing. So you got to start wherever you are, but you better gain some active endurance. That means I got to work it out. Workout time. How many of y'all in here, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to tell the truth now. You just thoroughly love exercise in whatever form it comes. Can y'all hear that? That silence is so loud. How many of y'all just love it in the spiritual too? Really, Monty? You want me to help the Lord? You want me to help him? Y'all come down the hall, let me slap you, see if you're in the love of God. I'm just kidding, Monty. He raised his hand halfway while I'm saying that. Y'all can't see it, but I could see it, you know. But how many knows the good fight is the one that you win? But you must stay in the ring and stay engaged in the spirit realm, in faith. Let's see what else I got here. It says that patience is active endurance of opposition. That means when the devil comes, I punch him right in his mouth. Y'all not saying nothing. I don't know about y'all, but for this last week or so, it is like a bombardment of wrong thoughts. For me. And I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing. I'm not going to say that. I don't want that. I don't want it planted. I'm not going to grow it. I'm not going to say it. You better get out of here. And then I say the right thing. That's how you have to counter that. So any way that opposition comes. Now, we don't ever fight against people, right? Flesh and blood is not our enemies. May come through them, but they're not it. It says active endurance of opposition, not a passive resignation. Patience is endurance, steadfastness, long-suffering. When I read this one, I thought 1 Corinthians 13. The love of God is long-suffering. It says, and forbearance. Excuse me. And it said this, perseverance is part of maturity. In one of the verses that we read, I think it's in Luke, it could have been in one of the others, about the thorny ground. It says, and they bring no fruit to maturity. It's how the Amplified Bible, I believe, is the one that says it that way. They bring no fruit to maturity. Why? They got no perseverance. What does that mean? You just keep on. It's like the Bible says in Ephesians 6 over there. He says, having done all, therefore to stand, what you do? Turn and run, lay down and cry. What you do? You just keep standing. It's kind of like I heard a lady last night. She was talking about a different subject or whatever. But anyway, she said that she's a pilot. And her husband was flying back from somewhere to a meeting or something. And it was one of them little bitty planes. She said, and there was a storm coming up. She said, but it was just clouds. And they was real low. And because she's in that kind of plane, they do it VHR or whatever she called it. But anyway, they fly by the ground. They can see the ground and they fly by that and everything. Well, because she got in the clouds, she couldn't see the ground anymore. Now, her husband over here, he's turning white, and he's sweating. But what he didn't realize about it was she put the coordinates in the GPS and put the plane on autopilot. What do I mean by that? It's going to get to its destination. You pull your phone out, click on maps, or however you do it, and you put in a destination. And you hit go. I don't have to see it, Sandy. All I have to do is turn where it says turn. And if it's on autopilot, guess what happens? It just automatically turns itself. And I just sit there till I come out of the clouds and there's the sun. Why am I saying that? That's the way he says, having done all to stand, you've done everything you know to do, and you just keep standing there. You just keep standing there. Why? Because you can't come off your stand. If you come off your stand, your fruit will not mature. You will not mature, and you will not get what you ask for. Now listen, there's part of those that talks about how that some they got 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. I'm going to tell you a little thing here. This is how that happens. Now, I told y'all whenever God prompted me to ask for my brother to come home, that's what he said. My brother come home. Now, some people, and the devil has tried to alter that. Because if he can't get you to move off your stand, what's he going to try to get you to do? Alter it. This is the tactics of the devil. How do you alter it? In your mind. And then you let it go in your heart. Now, God prompted me to ask for my brother to come home. It was not with an ankle monitor. It was not leaving prison, going to no halfway house. It was not leaving prison, going to no rehab. That is not what he said. So I'm not moving. Why? I don't want 30-fold. I don't want 30-fold. My brother's out of prison, but he's in rehab. Or a halfway house. That's not what God said. Now, don't just take it from me. What did he say to you? What did you ask for? And whatever you ask for, done all to stand. You keep standing there. You don't let that word get altered. You don't change that word. You don't try to figure it out, because God's got 101 ways that you will never even think of. But the devil will run you round and round and round with that right there. Trying to figure it out. Altering it so you don't get your 100-fold, Sandy. I would get my brother home, or not home, but to a rehab. That's 30 or 60. That's not my brother home. Therefore, that's not my 100. And I am going for my 100. It is the will of God. He's the one told me to ask and what to ask. And I ask, therefore, now all I do is stand. Listen, you are only along for the ride. The Bible says Jesus is the author. This is not just salvation scripture. The author and what? The finisher. Glory to God. Of our faith. Means he started. He's the one prompted me to ask. He's the one had me come here and tell y'all and have y'all to ask. Right? So all I got to do is keep believing what he said. He said it. I believe it. And he's done it. And I've still got my song you sent. You know what I see? I told Scotty last night, I said, let me just tell you, since I don't think I've told you in a little while. Now, I say it every day, but I don't think I've told him in a while. I said, my brother's home. You understand me? I said, I close my eyes and I can see it. I do Sunday school. And then Samantha sent me this song. I said, and it says Tasha Cobbs. And she says, Jesus did it. I said, and my brother's walking down the aisle. I said, and they all go wild. They stand up and they're clapping and they're praising God. Why? Because they see the word of the Lord, what he done. Not my brother. The Bible says in John 15, he says, God is glorified when we bear much fruit. My brother home is going to bring glory to God. Why? God started it. He said it. I believe it, and he's done it. And it's the same for all of us. Whatever it is that you're believing for, don't stop. I know it might get hard, and the devil tries to play head games. He told me a couple weeks, he's been telling me, because I didn't feel quite as joyful or excited. But, I mean, hey, it's been over 3 months, you know. How long do you stay just woo about that, you know what I'm saying? But I got it. I'm joyful, you know. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? I still got the peace. I still got the joy. When I say it, there's still a bearing witness on the inside of my spirit about that. You know, so the devil tries to say, you've done lost it. You just don't have the shake, rattle, and roll about it that you did. If it was still in there, you'd have it. You'd just be bouncing up and down. And then you feel just, y'all ever get up? Oh, yesterday was just a wonderful day. And you wake up, you're like, oh, gosh. I feel about half backslid and all kinds of stuff. And my body and my mind, you know, starting as soon as you. I usually say good morning, Lord, by the time I get to the kitchen. I usually don't say anything on my way to the kitchen. Y'all know what I'm saying? But then he comes with his lies and he tells you, you've let that word slip. You've let other things get in there, and your word's just choked. It's not going to happen. You're such a liar. We don't believe nothing you say. We don't have to feel it. We know it. We don't believe it. We know it. See, there's a difference in me believing God. I don't believe God. I know God. There's a difference. Good Lord, we got like 2 minutes, and I've got a half a page here. Y'all know what that means, I guess. Oh, my goodness. Let's see here. Perseverance is part of maturity. It says perseverance is maintaining Christian faith through the trying times of life. Luke 21:19, it says, by your steadfast and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your souls. According to Galatians 5:22, you already have patience on the inside of you, and it is the patience of God. It's not just our natural patience. Put that up, please, Beth, in the Amplified. Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, you can't do it yourself. He says, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper. You're not a roller coaster Christian. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence. But see there, patience is already in you. And you hear people, carnal Christians say, don't pray for patience. I prayed for patience and kicked my dash out. Well, you better repent of that, because all you done was you didn't have no even temper up there. See how the devil lies? And he'll use Christians to put stuff in you that's not so, that are lies. You don't have to pray for patience. Pray, God, help me endure and grow and mature. Why? Because it's coming. And sad to say, we've got Christians out here that they're saved and that's all they are. But then you got those like us. We're going to be made rulers over cities. We're going to be in charge of some stuff. Why? Because if He can trust us now, and we're learning this faith and endurance and all this now, what do you think our rewards are going to be there later? We're in charge now. We'll be in charge later. Amen. I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to quickly share?